Good morning and welcome to the live broadcast from 8th Reformed Church, located at 841 Burton Street Southwest in Wyoming, Michigan. Today, Pastor Mark Bergsma will bring a message titled, The Good Fight, from Scripture found in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 2 to 14. This is Scott Pastor inviting you to stay tuned for the next hour as we join the service this morning.
Good morning. Welcome to worship here at 8th Reformed Church, and a special welcome to you if you're visiting with us today. We are delighted to always welcome visitors. If you are visiting with us today, we have coffee and refreshments after the service downstairs, and we invite you to join us for that. And we do have a guest book just outside the east door of the sanctuary, and we are getting to know you. Appreciate it if you would sign that and introduce yourself in that way. Also, a big welcome to those who are joining us through Jethro Radio and Jethro.fm, as well as through the YouTube telecasts, and those who also join our worship service through CDs that are distributed. It's a pleasure to welcome you from afar, and we hope that someday you're able to join us and actually be a part of our worship service. That is a great joy for us as a congregation to welcome new folks in Jesus' name. Our call to worship today is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 150, the very last one. These words, praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. And our opening song will do just that. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Number 3 in your hymnal. Stand if you can, and let's open worship.
Yeah.
Father, as we gather this morning, we do it with great joy because we have become privy to the good news. The gospel, Father, is a declaration that you have won for us eternal life through Jesus Christ. Thank you for the old gospel story, Father, that we celebrate from week to week. The story that's so simple and yet so profound and so powerful about what Jesus came to do for us. We think of it as we begin in the Christmas season, and we think of it all the way through the Holy Week and the Easter glorious news of Jesus' resurrection. Father, in all of it, we realize that we're the benefactors, that we have been blessed, Father, with this new life because you love us. And we celebrate that this morning. We pray, Father, that you'll bless this gathering, all who come with different thoughts on their minds, different concerns, different anxieties. Father, whatever we bring into this sanctuary, we pray that you will treat us in your own special way. Treat us, Father, with your love and wrap your arms around us and make us feel, Father, like the children that you have brought us to be. We do this all now through Jesus Christ our Lord, and we pray it all in his name and for his sake. Amen. Grace to you now and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our special music today is Roger and Kathy Billings, and they have a special number to share with us this morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Oh, I'm glad that didn't happen while I was singing. I'm going to do one of those Appalachian Mountain Bluegrass sad songs made famous by Ralph Stanley. It's a cappella, so we got to take a moment to tune up.
I looked into the face of an old saint of God. I thought your race has ended, your life's crown you've won. Separated for the present, but soon to live again. And he's only gone away with a friend. Gone away with a friend, someone closer than a brother, with someone who loves you more than children, dad or mother. And he holds you very close in the palm of his hand. Let it read on my tombstone, gone away with a friend. He's a constant companion through life's joy and pain. All my hopes and cares I hold in Jesus' dear name. And when my soul breaks free from these ties that hold me here, I'm going away with Jesus, no other friend so dear. Gone away with a friend, someone closer than a brother, with someone who loves you more than children, dad or mother. And he holds you very close in the palm of his hand. Let it read on my tombstone, gone away with a friend. Gone away with a friend, someone closer than a brother, with someone who loves you more than children, dad or mother. And he holds your very soul in the palm of his hand. Let it read on my tombstone, gone away with a friend.
Thank you, Roger and Kathy. I love bluegrass gospel music, and that is a great song, and not easy to sing it a cappella. Thank you for sharing that with us today. Just a great message, too. And I want to thank our other musicians while I'm at it, Paul and Beth and Shirley, Roger and Kathy, and David, when he plays with us. We sometimes take our musicians for granted, don't we? But they lead and do such an important part in worship. And we are blessed as a congregation to have some mighty good ones and some mighty talented people who lead us from week to week. So thank you for all that you do. I have a few additions to the bulletin as we head for a time of prayer this morning. First, I forgot to mention that they're going to be offering two different classes here coming up. One is a CPR class, which I took at Unity, and it's a very useful class. Basic first aid right on down to helping to keep a person alive while medical people are on the way. That's going to be offered by Amanda Hybor, coming up here in the very near future right here at AAFE. And if you've never taken a class like that, it's highly beneficial, and I would highly recommend that you give that some thought and consideration. The other one's on ballroom dancing. That's probably not for me, but other people will enjoy that one, and the details of that one are also in the bulletin, and if you're interested in that kind of thing and becoming a Fred Astaire type of person, dancer, that one is coming up relatively soon to Tuesday, July 7th. A couple of quick announcements in terms of people that didn't make the bulletin. Dee Diekman has been struggling with her health for some time now, and just this past week wound up heading to the hospital again and was diagnosed there with pneumonia, among other things. So she's home, I'm told, Fred said, and being treated at home for pneumonia. And so please keep Dee in your prayers. The last report on Joe Van Beek is that he has made some really good progress in healing his foot. He recently had surgery on that foot, and early indications are very good for Joe. Arlene Hendricks had a stroke this past week and wound up in Butterworth Hospital. We're not quite sure whether she's home from the hospital yet, but she is being treated for a stroke. There are some encouraging signs after the initial stroke took place, and so please keep Arlene and Joy, of course, and everyone else concerned in your prayers as well. Anthony Noto, Marsha Van Ewen's 14-year-old grandson, he had successful surgery on his left ear, and they're waiting to hear now whether he will hear and whether that will improve his hearing. And so Stay tuned on that one, and we'll pass along any latest information on that one. Brian Cripps, Jeff and Patty Van Meekeren's son-in-law, has had a tough go of things with chemotherapy treatments and kidneys that are acting up and so on and so forth. Please continue to keep Brian in your prayers as he struggles with these treatments and his health in general. Mel Vanderwest and others that we have listed in the bulletin, please continue to pray for these folks on a regular basis. One of our jobs, our functions as believers in a body of Christ like this is to pray for each other. Amen. And if you've been on the receiving end of that, you know how important that is. And so I want to just encourage you to take this thing home and every day just use it as your guide and sketch in a few of these that didn't make the bulletin. But remember these folks on a daily basis. It's your ministry, and it is a joy to remember people in that way. Let's spend some time in prayer, shall we? Father, sometimes we just need to be quiet before you. You're a holy God. And we don't in any way deserve to have an audience with you. And yet, you have revealed to us in your word that you love us and that you love these times that we spend with you, that you are encouraged, Father, when we share our deepest concerns and thoughts about ourselves and about people around us with you. Father, we acknowledge that prayer itself is an act of faith. And when we reach out to you, Father, it strengthens our faith. We actually hear the Holy Spirit within our own hearts speaking through us. And we know that there is a connection that is established, that is powerful. We feel drawn to you and close to you. We feel related to you. We feel, Father, the Holy Spirit within us. And that makes prayer something that we look forward to, too. As a congregation, Father, we have already listed some of the many things that we have to pray for. We pray for our missionaries, and in particular, the ones that we acknowledge in the bulletin today, Chad and Dara Vandenbosch in Mozambique. And we pray in their various activities there, Father, as they assist farming there and as they share the gospel in their own way there, we pray for a multiplication of believers there, Father, that come to see how much you love them. We pray that you'll bless their efforts through Audio Scriptures ministry. We pray also, Father, for Joe and for Anthony and Dee and Arlene and Brian, all with very acute kind of health issues right now. And we are just so thankful that you are with us during those especially scary times in our lives when things just go wrong physically and even emotionally. We thank you that you are especially close to us during those times and that you minister to us and you hear our pleadings and you draw especially close. We thank you for your healing power, and we've experienced that personally, each of us, in our families. We've experienced, Father, answered prayer, and we thank you for that, and we pray for more of it as we reach out on behalf of people that we care about. We think of Mel Vanderwest as he continues to be under hospice care. And we think of people who are homebound and people who have chronic health issues. Pam and Kim and Arlene and Glenn and Aria and Gladys and Bob. Father, help them to feel that they are still a part of us. And just wrap your arms around them and bless them in a special way today. Make them to feel close to you through this worship service and that they're a part of it. We also pray for the others who are dealing with health issues, Father. Some of them, even here today, some of them experiencing some reprieve. We think of Ron and Barb and Darlene and Linda and Betty and Lorraine and Brett and Jim and Dee and Terry and Shane and Ford and Brian and Mark, Ron and Jenny, Doug, and others who need you, Father, especially right now. And we pray for healing, not just physical healing, but inner healing as well. We pray for comfort and just the peace about the fact that our physical lives are in your hands and that you love us and are near to us. We pray for our community and we pray for our city. We pray for our nation and all the turmoil that's going on in our nation and the world itself. We look around and sometimes, Father, it's just frightening. All of the events, the current events of this world. And we are thankful that we can retreat into our prayer tower and leave even world events to the God who controls everything, who is sovereign over the universe, not just this world. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for this church. We pray for our continued opportunities to minister in this community and however far you extend our ministry, Father. We pray for that to continue. And we pray for people to just come to Christ and come to experience faith and release from our past and faith in you and now all that the Bible teaches about who we are in Christ. And we pray that as we explore that today in the scriptures, that you'll continue to just imprint that on our hearts. Be with us now in this time of worship. We come together around the words that Jesus shared with us when he taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Number 182 for the beauty of the earth, standing to sing.
Oh,
The scripture that we're going to look at today is, well, a number of them actually, but we're going to start in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we're going to begin reading at verse 3, and we're going to read through verse 14. One Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. If anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy and strife and malicious talk and evil suspicions and constant friction between men of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into the temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. We've talked in past messages about who we are in Christ. And I want to just again remind you that the Bible has a lot to say about that. It says that we've been saved by Jesus' life and by his death and by his resurrection. We reign with Christ. We have been made righteous through obedience to Christ. We've died to sin. We've been raised from the dead to walk in newness of life. All of these things get revealed and brought out by the Scriptures. And it's important for us to consider each and every one of them. We are redeemed. We are born again. We are headed for heaven. So much joy. So many great things revealed. But today I want to reveal one more thing that we don't usually think about. And it's important. And there's a point that's going to come through all of this, which I hope you catch and take home today, because it's tremendously important. And that is that we are called to a fight. We are called actually to be fighters. And from the day when we become believers in Jesus Christ to the day the Lord calls our name and takes us home, we are to fight the good fight of the faith. And a lot of us don't think about that. We don't think about that aspect of our identity at all. When I think of the word fighter, you know who I think of? Muhammad Ali. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Oh, look how beautiful I am. Remember all of his antics and everything? But he was a good fighter. He was really a good, it kind of dates me to talk about him because a lot of people don't even know who Muhammad Ali was. But that's not the kind of faith we're talking about here, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. Most of us here today just don't think of ourselves as fighting. Fighting is for young people. Fighting is for people who are young and fit and strong. I'm older. My joints ache. My reflexes aren't any good anymore. My eyesight is poor. My stamina isn't there. I'm not cut out to be a fighter. But it's true, the scripture says, fight the good fight of the faith. Today I hope that you go away with an understanding of what that means. He's writing this to Timothy. Timothy is his favorite son in the faith. He had a hand in bringing Timothy to Christ, to Jesus, and seeing his life completely changed. Timothy, an interesting guy. His mom's a Jewish person. His dad is a Greek. So Paul knew that Timothy had lots of issues ahead of him. He was going to be looked on askance by the Greek people and also looked on askance by the Jewish people. He was kind of in between. And so these words to him are important. Be prepared, he says to Timothy, for a fight. And it's important, of course, that we understand what kind of fight we're talking about here. Just this week, as I'm preparing for this message or finishing the preparations for it, the daily devotional that I read is about what's called Beyond Pettiness, and it's talking about another kind of fight, and it's warning us not to be involved in this kind of fight. It says, starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam, so drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. That's straight out of the book of Proverbs. And it goes on to say, what is it in the human psyche that compels us to pursue a matter straight into the heart of a conflict? Do we just enjoy a good fight? For some reason, we frequently feel that we must establish truth as we see it, even in the most petty of disagreements. We often value our opinions more than we value our relationships. Boy, that one hit me. I've seen that in people's lives. That's not the kind of fight we're talking about here. We're not talking about petty disagreements. We're not talking about family squabbles. We're not talking about arguments and fights with neighbors. We're not talking about theological fights or political fights. I've seen people get involved in that too, where they get on the internet and they start ranting about their political party and they stir up all kinds of trouble. Seen that before. Makes a mess of things. Makes a mess of people's lives. Not the kind of fight we're talking about here. We're not talking about hurt feelings and bruised egos and exchanged words. We're not talking about road rage or any of that kind of stuff. What we're talking about here is a spiritual fight. And I'll explain that as we go. The word itself, I looked it up, it means a conflict, a contest, a wrestling match. If you can picture two people wrestling with each other, hand-to-hand combat, takedowns, trying to pin the other person, strength against strength. That's literally the word that Paul chose when he said, fight the good fight. In other words, be prepared to engage with the enemy in a very personal way. Now he's going to go on and explain to us who the enemy really is. But know this, it's a spiritual fight, and we have a sworn enemy. And we're going to be fighting these battles every single day, and some of them may seem insignificant, but they're not. And sometimes we're going to fight these battles with ourselves. Did you know that sometimes you won't see the whites of the enemy's eyes until you look in the mirror? Some of the greatest battles that we fight are with ourselves. And here's another note, we lose some. We lose some of these spiritual battles. We feel defeated, we feel like failures, we feel we've made bad mistakes, bad choices, and we've let Jesus down, we've let ourselves down. God can't love me anymore. I've heard people say that. God, I'm sure he's past loving me because I've just let him down too many times. My life is in vain. I fight and I lose and I feel so bad about myself. Everybody must know the real me and all of my failings. I'm a mess. If you've ever felt like that, here's what I want you to remember. You're in a fight. There is a spiritual fight going on, and Satan's been whispering in your ear. And he has been engaging you in a good old-fashioned fight. And God has something to say about that. He says, don't worry about the defeat. Jesus has already won. But here's the important part that I want you to really think about. What he wants us to take away from this is the very fact that we're struggling with these feelings of defeat and failure, the very fact that we're struggling with those means that we're in the good fight. And that God is very near to us. It's a sign that we're being obedient. It's the people who never struggle that we ought to worry about. The people who feel that pain and struggle with those feelings on a day-to-day basis. God wants you to know that that's a sign that you're in his will. You're doing battle in the way that he wants you to, even if you feel like you've let him down. Now, I know that's a lot to digest. Listen to some of these scriptures. The first one, of course, is the one that I already read for you. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called when you made the good confession. Jesus said, whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. That means that we have an enemy out there who's trying to do damage to us. The cross is an instrument of pain and ultimately of defeat. And Jesus calls us to take up that cross and bear it in our following him. In the book of Jude, it says, I urge you to contend or fight for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. And then there's a very interesting passage in 1 Peter that says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all of your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Fight. Resist him, standing firm in your faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. That's just a tiny sampling of what the Scripture says about this posture that we are to adopt as fighters, fighting the good fight, spiritual fight. The passage that I read for you is interesting too. It talks about teaching sound doctrine and avoiding people who want to fight these petty fights. He says, don't get involved in those. They create envy and strife and malicious talk and evil suspicions. These are bad fights. I've experienced them. You've experienced them. You know what I'm talking about here. We're talking about fights that cause church splits, that tear families apart, that hurt feelings and leave bruised egos and misunderstandings and sometimes pain that lasts for years and years and years. Stay away from those kind of fights, the scripture says. That's not the good fight at all. And also, there are other people who just fight to get rich. Money is what they're fighting for, and anybody that gets in the way, look out. Stay away from those kind of fights too, Paul says to Timothy. That's another bad kind of fight. And then his counsel to him is fight the good fight. Take hold of eternal life. Confess Jesus. Follow Jesus' leading. Pray. Keep his commands no matter what. Love one another. And remember that in the middle of that fight that you're in, he's near. He hasn't pulled out or abandoned you or left you. In fact, that very struggle that you go through is a sign that you're involved in the good fight. All right, what kind of things do we fight against? The Bible outlines three different things. We fight against the world, for one thing. And I don't have to tell you that the world that we live in has its own set of standards. And they don't necessarily align with our standards, do they? The key word in all of this is holiness. Paul says, I want you in the middle of all of the world that the world is trying to teach and foist on you, I want you to remain holy. That means I want you to remain people who look to me for their guidance and their leadership and their values. Be holy in the midst of a very corrupt world. There's a thousand ways that you can do that. And I'm happy to say that a lot of those things are going on right here in this church. Even the little things, praying for one another. It goes against what the world teaches. The world has its own standards about what's right and what's wrong, what's male and what's female, what's a family, what's acceptable behavior, what's acceptable appearance. All of those things we're surrounded by and bombarded by every day. The Bible just says, in the middle of all of that, stand your ground. Stand for what you know to be right. Be holy in the midst of all of that. And then we fight against the devil, the scripture. Do you believe in Satan? Do you believe that we have an enemy who orchestrates a strategy against us? Have you experienced that personally? That he attacks us? That sometimes his attacks are obvious, sometimes they're very subtle? But they're always persistent, and he is always looking to get the best of us. Do you believe that? The good fight involves standing up, resisting, as it says in that passage from 1 Peter, resisting Satan and all that he's involved in. And then the flesh. We fight against the flesh, and that's when we look in the mirror. We fight against ourselves. We fight against our own emotions, our own hearts. Sometimes it gets so discouraging. As a pastor, I have met and talked to so many believers that have come to hate themselves because they feel like they have failed God. They feel like they have lost the fight. They're ashamed. They have secrets. They have lost hope. They felt like they have let themselves down. They have let God down. They've let family down. They've let kids down. They've let parents down. They just feel terrible about themselves. I have met many who feel that way. And here's the interesting thing in all of this. Instead of letting those things completely dominate us and destroy us, the scripture says, realize that when you feel those things, and I'm looking at people who have felt those things, when you feel those things, realize that you're fighting the good fight. That you're in the middle of it. That you're in God's will. That He is near. He hasn't given up on you. That's the time when God is closest. I'm with you. Don't be ashamed. Fight on. Be brave. Let the Holy Spirit just give you the strength that you need day by day. Resist. Fight back. The bottom line is that we are indeed soldiers in a fight. We're under attack. The worst thing we can do is ignore that, not be prepared for that. Of course, it talks about this in Ephesians chapter 6, when it talks about putting all this armor on. But I want to just hold out to you, the Apostle Paul. You think this just involves you? Listen to what the Apostle Paul says about this fight that he fights on a personal basis. Listen. I don't understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. As it is, it's no longer I myself who do it. It's sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out. I do not do the good I want to, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. This is Paul talking. Now, if I do what I don't want to do, it's no longer I who do it. It's sin living in me that does it. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work within my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. Then he concludes all this by saying, What a wretched man I am. This is the Apostle Paul. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? See, Paul feels those same feelings of failure and defeat. The same guy that says, fight the good fight, feels these horrible feelings. And then he says this, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's what it all comes down to. This doesn't depend on us. Jesus has already won the battle. And so even if we lose in this struggle, we know that we're involved in the fight, the good fight. As a pastor, I've had to do, I don't know how many funerals over the course of the years, Pastor Harry probably has done more than me. I don't know. But some of the hardest funerals that I have ever done in my life are people who have taken their own lives. Even believers who have been so overwhelmed by these battles that I'm talking about, so beaten down that it comes to that. And I've had wives, husbands, kids come up to me and say, is she lost forever? Has she committed the unpardonable sin? And the answer is, there's hope. Because God has a heart for those who are involved in the good fight. And when we're weak, He's strong. And He must win the battle. Martin Luther led a tormented life early on. He became a monk thinking that would change everything and he would clean up his act and be presentable before God. Didn't work. And his biography says that he lived in a little cubicle in a monastery, and he thought if he denied himself all of the privileges and all of the good things in life, that would make up for all of his sin. And so he had just this bare bones little room with a bed in it and a little nightstand, and that was about it. That was his life. And at night he would fight with the devil. He would feel so bad about himself and about his sins, he would literally wrestle with Satan. And throughout the night, they could hear him in his room screaming out against Satan and wrestling, trying to get right with God. Trying. And even was written about him that people thought he was insane because of his behavior. And then he read a miraculous verse in the Bible that actually changed his life. And it was a simple verse. It simply said, "The righteous by faith shall live." And when he read that, it changed his whole life. He realized this wasn't about him. And in spite of the fact that he was involved in this tremendous spiritual conflict, he could let it all go and be completely released from his past because the Lord Jesus loved him and had made provision for his sins and had taken care of all of that. And so he just simply focused his faith and he became a different person. But he realized that that was the good fight. That's what led him to the cross, led him to freedom. And he continued to struggle through the rest of his life with sin, but he knew where to go. He knew how to be set free and released. He knew that that fight that he continued to battle within himself only led him to freedom. And that's a powerful thing. And again, I want to say this. If you don't take anything away from this day, remember that your deepest and darkest struggles are a sign that you are fighting the good fight and in God's will. Listen to what Martin Luther wrote about his own personal struggles. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing, for still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it's he. The Lord's Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same. And he must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word will fell him. Close with these quotes. They say it better than I could ever say it. When a Christian faces a difficult or extreme trial or temptation, he's tempted to throw in the towel and say, God, it's no use, I'm just no good, you obviously don't want me, so I'm finished. All the while, he forgets that God teaches us that through these trials and temptations, that self-trust is dangerous and unreliable. What's the purpose of these severe trials and temptations that sometimes cause you to fail? It's not to show you that you're not a true Christian. Rather, it's to show you that your conscience is tender and you are very near to God. Whoa. The Lord is trying to teach you that last lesson so that you can stop trusting yourself and know that you've already won. Because God loves you and will not let you go. Whoa, I need to hear that. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you that in the middle of this spiritual battle that we sometimes feel we're losing, you're there. And just as Jesus hung on the cross and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he experienced that same kind of spiritual torture. So, Father, we follow in his footsteps. Help us to be prepared and not to feel defeated, but to find our victory in Jesus, to be released from our past and our failings, to find our life in him. We rejoice in that. We pray these things in Christ our Lord. Amen. Number 151, standing to sing.
Yeah.
and invite the deacons to come forward. We're going to receive our morning offering. Father, for your goodness to us, we will always, always be grateful. And it's a joy for us to return back now a portion in faith to be used to bring others to the joy that we experience this morning. We pray that it may multiply, Father, your fold. And we entrust that to you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. After the benediction, we're going to close with just a little chorus, God be with you till we meet again. Receive God's blessing. Now the peace that is found in knowing Jesus as Savior and Lord, may that peace be with you and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.
This brings to a close this week's broadcast from 8th Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We hope that you've received a rich blessing from this time spent around the Word of God. If you're unable to join us in person, we invite you to tune in to Jethro FM each Sunday morning at this time. You can also listen to past services on our website at 8thchurch.org. That's 8thchurch.org. Until next Sunday at 9:30, it's our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in His care.